Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Covenant Church of Thomas, and it's good to see some of you that we haven't seen in a long time. Glad to see your arm is moving. It's not helping your fantasy team any, but it's good. You're doing good. We have a few announcements. Liz Montambo, thank you for the beautiful flowers in memory of Don. We lift them up. We have a quarterly business meeting, which we'll be following. It says at 11:30 for everyone there. And we have a search committee announcement.
I'm here. We want to thank you for continuing to pray for us. The search committee, we've interviewed several candidates, and we have decided not to pursue them. Currently, we are on our third interview with another candidate, and we ask you to please pray for clear discernment and unanimous decisions among our members. Several candidates have asked us about our purpose statement and if it is updated. This might be a task that a couple of members could work on as we continue to search for a candidate. We thank you all for your prayers and your patience during this interim period.
Well, let us now stand then for our intro. Join me now in our call to worship. Sing joyfully to the Lord.
Praise the Lord with your music.
Sing to him a new song.
Sing with skill and joy.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
Blessed is the people God chose for an inheritance.
From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all humanity. No nation is saved by the size of an army.
Despite all its great strength, it cannot save.
But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear God.
On those whose hope is in God's unfailing love.
In God, our hearts rejoice, for we trust in the holy name of the Lord.
May God's unfailing love.
Thank you.
Good morning, Lord. This has been a smoke-filled week. Thank you for guiding us through it and out of it, for your blessing of, we thank you for the fresh air that we take for granted this beautiful morning. We praise you that we are able to join together today and to rejoice in your word and song, sing your praises, and to refill our hearts. Father, we thank you so much. Thank you that we're able to rejoice in our suffering, knowing that our suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and in character hope. Our hopes are filled today with your love. May we feel it, may we really feel it, live it, and share it, all in your name. Let us join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. The Old Testament reading this morning is Psalm 33, verses 1 through 12. That is on page 440 in your pew Bible. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Praise the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all their host by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea as in a bottle. He put the depths in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The gospel reading this morning is from Matthew 9, verses 9 through 13, and then jumping down to verses 18 through 26. You can find this on page 790 in your pew Bible. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax collection station, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. When he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from a flow of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she was saying to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that moment. When Jesus came to the leader's house, he saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion. He said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread through all of that district. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's take a few minutes to lift our prayers up to the Lord. I will lift a part in the middle so that you can share your joys and your concerns and your prayers. Would you please bow with me? Father God, there's so much going on in our world today. We've had a of smoke that came out of nowhere to deal with. There's so much happening in our lives, this even just this past week, Father. So many concerns, from operations to loss to miracles, Father. We lift them up to you. We pause to lift up to you all our troubles and concerns of our country and of our world. There is so much going on, Lord, that we have trouble dealing with it, that we just lift it all to you. We ask that we leave this before you today. We set this before you for you to deal with, for you to guide us. We seek your guidance each and every day, Lord. We pray in hope of your protection, Lord. And we lift up the week that is before us, Lord. It's a new week. There's fresh air, Father. We just pray for your guidance and protection. Just lift us up, Lord, and we'll deal with it, both the good and the bad. And now we lift up before you our prayers, joys, and concerns.
Father, I lift up my daughter, Marissa, as she learns to walk free from...
He knows that he has to get this treatment, and he will continue to do what he has to do. And I also thank you, my Lord, for starting to heal that leg of my daughter. Doing better, and each day will get better through you, my Lord, and I just thank you for all of your
what society has to bring with that transition, because the vultures are already starting to circle. So, Father, in that process, I would ask that you would work deeply within Alicia's life, that you would show her that there's things that are more important than what society says she has to deal with, and that a sense of loss should be instead a sense of anticipation for the day that we can all stand together in the same place that Pete's going.
God, we thank you for hearing our prayers, both spoken and both unspoken. May every word that we speak, every action we take, every thought that we think, every emotion, and we feel glory to you on this beautiful day, Father. Lift it all up to you. Every time I hear Matthew, I always think of the series Chosen, and I can't get his view out of my head. He's just so different than who I thought. I know John the Baptist doesn't look anything like John the Baptist, but I thought he was a big guy and looked a little different. I'm going to continue today speaking out of the book of Acts. I'll start off with John 16:33, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. A therapist friend of mine told me that the way to achieve true inner peace is to finish what I start. So as I'm writing this sermon, I finished that bag of potato chips, I finished a bag of Hershey Kisses, and she is right. I feel better. Acts 16:16-25. Is what I'll be speaking on today. Once, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hopes of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrate and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful to us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrate ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they were severely flogged, they were thrown into the prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. He put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Paul and Silas were falsely accused. They had been attacked by a mob, severely horsewhipped and thrown into prison. Now here they are sitting in a Roman jail, having no idea of whether the next day, what it would bring, whether they would find their release or they would be executed. And what are they doing? Are they complaining about unfair treatment? Are they asking each other, "How could God let this happen to us?" Are they bitter, angry, or resentful? Are they discouraged? Are they depressed? Are they uttering dark threats against the jailer and the authorities and the people who put them there? No, they are rejoicing. They are singing hymns of praise to God. Imagine what the reaction of the jailer and the other prisoners must have been. Is that how you would have reacted? If you were in their place, would you have reacted that way? I don't think so. It's pretty unlikely, since most of us grumble and complain all the time over the simplest of little things. Are you or anyone you know filled with that kind of spirit that Paul and Silas have? that kind of joy deep down inside? The question we need to ask this morning is, do you want it? Do you want that kind of joy? Would you like to be able to rejoice in the middle of the lousiest of circumstances? So what did Paul and Silas have going on for them that we don't? Where did their inner joy come from? I'm pretty sure that if you could answer that question, you will have the key to literally transforming your life. Because I'm convinced that that inner joy is missing from many Christians' lives. Acts 16 draws us to ask a few questions. Where does the true inner peace, the inner joy, come from? How can we cultivate joy in our lives? And what difference does this make to us as followers of Christ? I mean, joy is a universal emotion. I mean, the other night when Aaron Judge hit a home run against the Dodgers and crashed through the wall and made a great catch, I had joy in my house. Wasn't happy when he was on the DL list because he got hurt doing that. And when you find you've gotten a new job or you've got a raise, you have joy. When a present that you spend time searching for that special person, and they enjoy it and like it, there's joy in them and joy in you. And when you attend a son or a daughter's piano recital or baseball game or graduation or marriage, there is joy. This is an everyday joy anyone can experience. That's joy in a normal, everyday life. You don't need God to experience joy. So why are we here? Why bother with religion? Because the joy that God gives to us is different. It's better. It lasts. It's not dependent on circumstances. The joy of the Lord, great joy lasts through every kind of struggle, suffering, disappointment, and heartache that we go through. John 16, I will see you again and you will rejoice and no one will take away your joy. And 2 Corinthians, and yet we live on, beaten and not yet killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. The joy in the Lord isn't like a bush or a flower or a tree or something that needs good weather to thrive. It's more like that oak or that redwood tree. It can survive in all kinds of trouble because it has roots that go down deep. It draws its strength from deep underground, not from what is simply on the surface. If we have the joy of the Lord, we can survive all kinds of sorrow and suffering. We can have a calming and reassuring peace and joy in the midst of pain and tears. We can even find ourselves strengthened by our trials and tribulations. Little Johnny and his younger sister Susan proudly walked into the house on Mother's Day. They held a new plant that they had just bought for their mom. "We even used our own money," Johnny proudly said. But then little Susie replied with a sad face, "There was a bigger, more beautiful bouquet that we wanted to get for you. It was real pretty, but it was more expensive." And then Johnny added, "It had this great, big, beautiful red bow on it, and it said, 'Rest in peace.'" "We thought that it would be perfect for you, Mommy, since you are always asking for a little peace so that you can get some rest." How can we find peace and rest and joy in the Lord? By seeking to know him. "I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High," Psalm 9. "You have made known to me the path of life, and you fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures, my right hand," Psalm 16. "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him. And I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song," Psalm 28. But some of us fall short. We fail in seeking to know God. We dwell on the circumstances of our lives instead of looking to Jesus, who is the joy in the time of trouble. We dwell on what We have gone through more than what God has brought us out of. We dwell more on what we're going through than what we have been brought into. We dwell on what we don't have instead of thanking God for what we already do have. We dwell more on how we have suffered than how God has delivered us. And we need to remember that God is in control of every situation. Whatever God does, it's either for his glory or for our good. A Christian who has a healthy soul comes forward and joyfully says, I will speak, but not for myself, but for the glory and the honor of God. No matter the circumstance or it may be in life, we should remember what Paul wrote. He wrote it to Romans in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. It's true that we all have trials and tribulations, but it's just as true that God delivers us out of these trials. The more numerous the troubles, the deeper the sorrow, the more racking of our pain, the louder that we should be in our thanks and our praises to God who has brought us through and persevered us with us. We have an all-sufficient Savior who gives us strength to overcome our temptations that bring us down, forgives and sets us free from sin. Everywhere we look, people are looking for happiness, so they turn to drugs, but there's no happiness in drugs. So they turn to alcohol, and there's no happiness in alcohol. Some look for happiness in their homes, or job, or their cars, or their children, or their wife, their spouse. They may find a little bit of happiness, but they don't find joy, that true joy. And you know, there's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness depends upon circumstances. Happiness depends on what you have. Happiness depends on what's happening. But sooner or later, your happiness is going to run out. You're going to get tired of things. Things that used to make you happy because they don't make you happy anymore. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. When you have the Spirit of Christ working inside of you, it should be showing joy on the outside. Like Paul and Silas, we should choose to praise God in our midnight hour, where the power of God will meet our needs and affect the lives of those around us. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning light. Singing and making praises to the Lord is something that should be happening in the life of every believer. Singing and praising the Lord indicates a gladness in your heart. Singing and praising to God in our hearts, the Lord, is just a natural, spirit-filled Christian, just as crowing is to a rooster. A rooster doesn't crow so that he can show off what he can do. Crowing is just part of him. He can't help but crow because it's part of his nature. In the same way, we as Christians can't help but be glad when we know that we are redeemed. And Jesus Christ lives on the inside of us. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. That verse doesn't say rejoice in the Lord every now and then, every Sunday maybe if you come to church, or if you think about it, or if you feel like it. It says rejoice in the Lord always and evermore. When you're saved, when you're sanctified, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, your heart is filled with gladness and rejoicing. You will praise God no matter what the circumstances. Many of us do a lot of praying when we feel we're faced, tested with trials. Yet we feel like we never seem to get anywhere. Well, thank God for prayer. Prayer is needed. Prayer is essential. Certainly we should pray when we're facing trials and tests, but we need to add something to our prayers. Acts 16:25 says Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. This verse tells us what to do in the midnight hours of our life, when the struggles hit, when times get tough. Romans 5:17 says, that we are to rule over and reign over our circumstances. I kind of like that. That makes a lot of sense. Rule and reign over our circumstances. Some Christians, not you guys, of course, but some Christians go to church and they sit in the pew and they look so sad. Like they've lost all their friends. Psalm 100 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." We are called to repent and rejoice, because this is a day of salvation, because our redemption in Christ Jesus. To repent means to change our minds from our embracing of sin and rejection of Christ to rejection of sin and embracing Christ. We come today to embrace Christ. And in our embrace, we should rejoice, because this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Revelation 21:4 says, "And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away." Corrie Ten Boom did a sermon on her. It was my favorite sermon to do. So I'll quote her again. She explains in her book, The Hiding Place, how she discovered how she could rejoice in her suffering just after she was transferred to Ravensbrück concentration camp during World War II. When they entered the barracks, their new barracks, they found it extremely overcrowded and it was flea infested. The scripture reading that morning had been from 1 Thessalonians and reminded them to rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in every circumstance. Corrie's sister Betsy told her to stop and thank the Lord, to rejoice in him for every detail of their new living quarters. She managed to do so for most things, but she refused to give thanks for the fleas. Her sister kept pushing her to do so, and Corrie eventually did. During the next few months, they were surprised at how openly they could hold Bible studies, and they had prayer meetings with no interference from the German guards. There was even more rejoicing in their suffering when they learned that the reason was because the German guards would not enter their barracks because of all the fleas. We are called to rejoice in our suffering, not because of the suffering itself, but because we have a wonderful God who allows us to go through this for a purpose. All Christians, we rejoice in God's power, his love, his wisdom, because in all of these things, he is the Father to all people. We rejoice in who God is for us. We rejoice in our relationship that we have with him. If our view of God is small, our problems seem to be big. But by comparison, when God is large in our lives, problems will seem small. How do we seek God? By listening for his voice in scriptures, by listening for the Spirit in a prayer, and by walking in obedience to his word. C.S. Lewis wrote in his book about conversion to this Christian faith, and he gave it a title, "Surprised by Joy." For he didn't really want to become a Christian. He resisted because he knew that it was going to be a tough life. But having come to faith, he was surprised by something. He was surprised by joy. No matter what he had given up, no matter the hardships, the mockery that was going on or going to come, God gave an unshakable joy. That's the experience for all of us who put our trust in Jesus as Lord. We don't expect an easy life. We don't count on having constant eruptions of joy within us. Yet knowing the Lord, we do expect to rejoice. Even in the darkness, we expect the surprise of experiencing again goodness, the goodness of belonging to the Lord. And take the joy that you have today as a down payment. For the fullness of joy belongs to the last day, the day when we and all the heavenly hosts will sing. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. Revelation 19. Imagine a place where all the tears, death, sorrow, Imagine a place without brokenness and pain. Imagine a place where we'll have full and unending joy, finally seeing our God face to face. Let that promise lift your spirits already now. How long will you rejoice? How long will we rejoice? We shall rejoice in the Lord always and rejoice forever. Amen.
Given us freedom, no longer.
rejoice in being able to give back to the Lord who takes care of us each and every day. Afterwards. And may every word that we speak, every action we take, every thought that we think, may every emotion we have, may we glorify our Lord this day, this beautiful day, giving him thanks. Go in his peace. Amen.